Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Transforming lives, promoting gender equality, and eradicating poverty among women and girls in the developing world is a hell of an undertaking, but one that attracted Barbara Collins and Marcia Wallace. They are the co-founders of Dining for Women, the largest educational giving circle that aims to change the world, one dinner at a time. And since 2003, the organization has raised more than $5 million to help hundreds of thousands of women and girls become empowered, educated, healthier, and self-sufficient from Africa to Asia to Latin America. DFW's 8,000 grassroots members, located in just about every state and in six countries, meet in home and community-based chapters, during which they learn about projects addressing the needs of women and girls. Members donate what they would have spent dining out. A little background on Marcia. An obstetrics nurse and educator for 20 years and a mother of four, she was raised by a single mom. Marcia was also a single mom who put herself through nursing school. Barb Collins' career began in management and public relations for a retirement community in Virginia. Subsequent positions took her to Minnesota and Wisconsin, where she worked in fundraising, development, gaining extensive experience in organizing, management, and working with boards. In 2003, an invitation to a potluck supper celebrating Marcia's birthday changed both their lives, spawning a movement that is impacting the world. In 2014, Marcia and Barbara received the Everyday Freedom Heroes Award from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center in Ohio. Both women live in Greenville, South Carolina, the headquarters of Dining for Women. So let's meet these passionate, committed, amazing women. Welcome to both of you, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Sandy.
Yeah, nice to be here. Nice introduction.
Hey, I didn't make it up. So you both live in Greenville, South Carolina, which happens to be the base of operations for DFW. Talk about that seminal birthday celebration, Marcia and Barb, too, in 2003. Were you good friends? And what was it about that night that struck such a chord?
We were friends, but not nearly as good friends then as we are now. And when I had the idea to have a potluck dinner for my birthday, I just invited all the women I thought might be interested in the concept of donating to an organization to support women. And Barb was one of the first people that I invited. And I really had no idea what to expect. I had for some years been searching for a way to invest my tremendous, it felt like at the time, amount of energy and passion into something that would change the world. And I felt like it would be big, but I had no idea what it would be. And even on that night, we had about 20 or 25 women, and we raised about $700 or $750. And we had a lot of fun. And we decided that night to start meeting every month. And that I couldn't sleep that night. I was so energized. I couldn't sleep. But even then, I didn't know that Dining for Women was what I had actually been looking for. And I didn't know it would turn into what it has become, because had I known that, I would have been scared to death and I probably would have not pursued it. I would have been convinced I didn't know how to do it.
You would have just served cupcakes that had a candle in it. Yeah.
But Barb offered to help when we decided to move every month. I mean, to meet every month and start make it a regular thing to help research. And that really, you know, helped us get the ball rolling.
But why this birthday, Marcia? You've been active before that, but something must have changed in you.
Well, I read an article in Real Simple magazine, and I think it was the summer of 2002, about a group of social workers who stayed connected through potluck dinners at which they donated what they would have spent on a meal out, and then they took that collective donation and gave to an underprivileged family in their community. Because they were social workers, that made perfect sense for them. And then months later, I was meditating one morning and really at that during that whole period of my life, I really was asking the universe to guide me to what I needed to do. And I was struck, like it felt like a bolt of lightning or being shocked with electricity or something. And I knew I was going to have a potluck dinner, and the proceeds were going to go to women and children in developing countries. And it was such an amazing moment when that occurred. And the concept of
focusing. You mean when that light bulb went off?
Yes. And the concept of focusing on women and children, especially internationally, was so integral to the original inspiration that I had recently seen Women for Women International featured on the Oprah show. And so that was the first organization that we picked. But the thing that was different at that birthday in 2003 was that I had had this inspiration in the fall of 2002, and it had been really profound, but I still didn't know what it would turn into.
So, Barb, where were you in this?
What do we call that? Strategic serendipity.
I was going to say serendipity. Yeah,
serendipity. Mm-hmm. I had always worked with nonprofits and had moved to South Carolina a few years earlier to the first night that we met. And I had been searching ever since I had toured Africa when my parents were living over there after they retired. And
all right, well, wait a minute. Why did they retire to Africa?
Because they are social change makers.
Okay.
And when my dad stepped down as a president of Roanoke College, he wanted to go to Africa and work with the Lutheran bishop to help put goals and strategy in place to change the people's lives there. So they were living in Moshi in Tanzania. And my husband and I took our girls out of elementary school for about 2.5 weeks and visited, and we visited the homes, the schools, we toured with the local individuals that lived that worked at the hostel. So I had come back from this and
around that time, in other words.
Yeah, okay. I had this flame inside me that had been simmering with what can we possibly do to help.
And not simply just write a check.
Right. Writing the check is one thing, but getting it to the women and girls.
Exactly.
Is what pulled me in.
So you were all on the same page that night?
Yes, we were on the same
page.
Well,
and ironically, I didn't know that Barb had experience with fundraising or development or nonprofits or any of that. In fact, I didn't know that for a long time, after we started meeting regularly.
So I started researching who we were giving to, and then I wanted to ensure that our collective donations got to those women and girls.
So that sort of begs the question. You start out on a very small scale. How does an organization go from a potluck dinner with 20 women who collect $700 to really an institution with 8,000 grassroots members in just about every state and in 6 countries? You know, seriously, it's one thing to say, hey, what can we do? And it's another thing to move a mountain.
This is Marcia. I really do feel like we were just recipients of an idea that was intended to be. And the thing was, we were willing to persevere for 3 years with this idea, a vision of being a household name and having a chapter in every city in the country. But I kept talking to people in our chapter, and nothing happened until we were included in a national study on giving circles. And then when the study was published, like, giving circles were all the rage, and journalists wanted to write about giving circles as a rising trend in philanthropy. And so we got this call out of the blue to if we would want to participate or be included. And because our model was so unique in terms of focusing on international issues instead of local community-based issues, they highlighted us. They pulled a number of organizations out and wrote about them in more depth. And so journalists picked up on it, and we started getting publicity in. The first thing was Women's Day magazine in December 2005. And then shortly after that was the New York Times. And then right after that was Good Morning America.
Oh, hello. Uh-huh.
And it all just started
to coalesce,
snowballing, and we were not prepared.
It was out of our control.
It was totally.
So it's so snowballed, and you just kind of watched all this in a sense, you know, much to your, I mean, joy, but in a way, chagrin as well. Like, oy, 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 what have we started here?
Well, it was interesting because we started working like one day a week.
Oh, yeah.
And it started maybe 2 days a week. And then as we got bigger and bigger, we bought a computer. We got a database. You know, every Monday we were babysitting Marsha's grandson. You know, so we literally worked from our dining room and kitchen tables.
Just the two of you, or more than the two of you in the early days?
Just the two of us.
Yeah, just the two of us.
You collect this money, and how do you know where it's going? Who gets it?
In the beginning, it was only maybe maximum $400 or $500 or $600
Okay.
A month. So you can't ask for grant requests if you're only given $500 a month. So Barb would go online and look at GuideStar.org and type in search words and find, we'd find organizations that looked like what we were interested in supporting that were focused on women. And Barb, go ahead.
And, you know, I'm a researcher at heart. So I knew that we had to find organizations where we could look at their finances.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically had, the organization had to have a 501c3 or a fiscal sponsor in the United States so we could look at their finances. We scoured their websites and we chose organizations that also listened to the women in the countries, and they were women-led solutions that we wanted to fund and invest in. So we started that way. Every month, whatever we took in through collective donations went right to the program.
100% of all the donations went straight to the organization. Mm-hmm. And we would just call them up and say,
we have 45,000.
Funny.
If you're just joining us, my guests today are Barbara Collins and Marsha Wallace, who happen to be the co-founders of Dining for Women. All right, so it's the two of you ladies, and you're in home office, and you're researching, and you've got a computer, and then all of a sudden, you need a board of directors. This is not easy to do.
I probably should not admit this, but in the beginning, when I filled out all the legal paperwork to get our nonprofit status, and we needed to have a minimum of five board members, I just asked five people who I thought would be willing, or three other people besides Barb and I, who would be willing to help. And we would have one or two board meetings a year just as a formality. But Barb kept saying, we don't want a big board because you have to manage them.
Yeah.
We don't have staff.
And I, but so it wasn't until we, like 2009 or 10, that we began building a board with intention that would be where we, Barb and I didn't have control of all the decisions.
We started, you know, with a strong working board. And, you know, we have now have 700 plus volunteers. And the board was all volunteer and a working board. But we realized with the growth, especially after February 2012, when we were on the NBC Nightly News, we needed a governing board and we needed a decision-making framework for the organization. So we did the battle from working board to one of governance. It took about 3 years, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
So that really transformed the organization and made us stronger.
Do you have any paid members?
You mean paid staff?
Paid staff, yes.
Yes, we have an executive director and some full-time employees and some part-time employees. I think it's almost a total of
6.5
Full-time
equivalents.
And a space, too, that you're not working out of your home office, are you?
No, we have an office downtown Greenville.
Have both of you, as well as other board members, traveled globally to meet some of these women and see where your money is going?
I have. I have, and some of our other board members have too.
So and where have you gone, Marcia?
I went to Kenya in 2010 and to Nepal in 2011 and India in 2007. And then most recently I was in Senegal. And then we also have a Dining for Women travel program, which we really officially launched in 2010 with multiple trips a year that took groups of our members to visit sites that we had supported. And it's one of the most popular aspects of Dining for Women. It's so profound in that it transforms the lives of the women who are actually able to go and visit. Women who previously may never have traveled internationally, and it helps them sort of dip their toe in the water, so to speak. And for us, it completes the circle of giving to be able to actually connect in person with the women that we've supported. It's really, really a powerful experience.
And the stories they bring back for anyone else who can't travel gets to experience through their blogging and their stories.
Well, on your website, you write that poverty is sexist, that women make up a majority of the world, extreme poor, illiterate. I mean, not a shocking fact. But that must be just so powerful for you to see that you are making a difference.
Yes. Every time I go on a trip, I come back with a renewed sense of the original conviction and passion that I had. And, you know, it's refreshing, it's renewing, it is a powerful momentum to carry us through some of what can be tedious and frustrating organizational management issues and day-to-day things.
Sure.
You know, Barb is really good at details, and I, like, keep my head up in the clouds, and so
we're good partners.
Well, that's a great thing, that you each match each other's strength and weakness, where you're weak, she's strong. I mean, that's what makes a perfect relationship.
Yep.
So in the time that Dining for Women was first born, you've raised more than $5 million. Is any of that corporate money, or is that all from women who would meet and have dinner together?
Yes. Can you imagine?
No, I can't, quite frankly.
$5 million in $35 increments.
That's what you determined would be an individual amount, $35?
No, we have average. No minimum donation.
Okay.
Any gift is welcome. We're very inclusive. One might give 200 to a program, one might give 10, but it just doesn't matter. We pool it.
So how do I start a chapter, or how do I get involved? Walk me through that.
Well, there is a link online to setting up a chapter, and we have 13 regional leaders throughout the United States that are there to help new chapter leaders walk you through that process and train you.
Just to make sure everyone knows, it's www.diningforwomen.org is your website.
Yes.
Okay.
And we recently had a high school sophomore contact us, and she wants to set up a high school chapter. And Marsh and I are hands-on with that one because we've been trying to recruit the youth.
Sure.
And so we are actually going to, she lives here, we're going to take her to the office and give her a tour and really mentor that generation so that that can spread also.
Sandy, I would like to emphasize too that at the dinners, part of what makes our Dining for Women potluck dinner unique is that it isn't just eating and socializing. We have an educational component that is as important as the money that we're raising. So each group of women who meet, or women and men, because we do have couples chapters.
Oh, that's interesting.
We'll learn about all the chapters that meet across the country are learning about and donating to the same project.
And you may change projects along the way.
Every month.
Oh, okay.
In January, you might learn about a maternal health program in Nepal. And in February, you might learn about a girls' leadership empowerment program in Kenya. And in March, you might learn about a women's economic development program in Cambodia, or sex trafficking in Guatemala in April.
Good Lord, the list is endless, isn't it?
Yes.
It is.
Yep.
We've given 192 grants to 129 different organizations in 42 countries.
Wow.
So the educational piece is what is unique. There's a short video, less than 10 minutes, from each one of the organizations and the about the project. And then we put a lot of educational materials on our website that are available for chapter leaders or whoever's doing the presentation that month to download. So women are going and they're learning things they've never learned before. One of the advantages, I think, to Dining for Women is that people get invited to a dinner because it's really inspiring and fun, but a woman may show up because a friend invited her and she's never heard of obstetric fistula. She's never heard that, you know, girls in developing countries don't have access to feminine hygiene products.
Sure.
Or, you know, whatever it is. And so they get inspired and pulled in by learning something new, and then it lights a fire, and then, you know, they're just really passionate about learning more about the lives of women around the world.
And some of our chapters are groups of friends. Some are open and invite the public. All of the 400 chapters are pretty unique amongst themselves. So that's really fun because their personalities shine through within the chapter. They also become... A byproduct of this is that Dining for Women is a transformation for us as individuals. We become global citizens, and we're developing into very smart philanthropists as well.
If you're just joining us, my guests today are Barbara Collins and Marcia Wallace, who happen to be the co-founders of Dining for Women. Your website provides a kind of generic guideline. And does it say, we suggest that we open this up to 10 women, 20 women, or is that up to my discretion?
That's up to your, you. Yeah, your discretion.
And so this became your life's mission. Are you both full-time staff members?
You know, we have been full-time staff members, but as the organization has grown and now we have the staff, Marcia and I can loosen the reins on the day-to-day operations and really get back to our original intention of being the ambassadors, getting out there and recruiting and talking to people and building relationships.
Right. We're on the board of directors, but we're not doing day-to-day operations anymore.
No.
So you're more looking toward the future.
Yes.
And we're guarding the culture and the vision that we started with also, because, you know, we have a really unique culture and vision, and we've grown so fast that the organization has required us. We feel like guardians of the vision, don't we, Barb?
We do. And a few years ago, after we grew so fast and there was so many new faces, new staff, new volunteer staff, Marcia and I were a little concerned that we were getting away from our grassroots culture.
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh.
So the board went through a very collaborative process with the key stakeholder groups and redefined our mission and recommitted to our vision and came up with a culture where four words really define what we are trying to be, and that is collaboration, education, inspiration, and transformation.
Wow. But and that also applies to your personal lives too.
Yes,
doesn't it?
Right. It does.
And because we're so grassroots, our members are personally invested. I mean, they have these meetings in their homes.
It's personal.
With their friends. Mm-hmm. And it becomes really personal. So they're very invested and they are, I don't know how to explain it, but they feel a sense of ownership.
Did you ever, ever, ever imagine that this thing would fly the way it has?
Yes.
You did.
After a certain point, I really had a vision of a chapter in every city. I mean, I didn't know what the implications of that were in the beginning, how hard it would be or how much work or the challenges. But I still feel like what we're looking at today is the tip of the iceberg, and that the potential is what lies beneath the water, and that if we can continue to grow and inspire women here, it's unlimited potential.
I think, you know, Dining for Women is a calling.
Yeah.
You know, it belongs to the world. We all see it as a way to change the world for the better. And we have a lot of important work to do in the world today.
You'll never run out of issues.
The thing that pulls them all together, Sandy, is gender discrimination. So we're addressing all of those issues for women because we've learned over the years that gender discrimination is a root cause of poverty and that women suffer because of poverty more than any other group. So everything that we're doing to address global poverty is through projects that are working to reduce gender discrimination.
Well, your work is, you have your work cut out for you, for heaven's sake.
As we've grown, we've seen the potential for partnership with other organizations because we're raising more money. So, for example, last year we partnered with the Peace Corps, their initiative called Let Girls Learn, which is a White House project that focuses on education for girls, secondary education for girls around the world. So that is our first collaborative partnership with another organization. And it's part of our strategic plan to do more of those in the future, while we're also always going to stay true to our Dining for Women DNA of small chapter events and small grants. Our grants are between $35,000 and $50,000. They come from all of the women that are meeting to contribute at the dinners.
Well, you call them grants as opposed to donations?
Well, now that we're bigger, we get grant applications. We get applications from organizations that want funding, and they submit proposals. And we have a volunteer committee that reviews all of those grant applications. And then we decide in two cycles per year, we pick six organizations that will receive grants for the following year.
And you don't get any corporate money?
We get very, very little. We are learning that this is where we want to seek some
outside sources of information.
But all of our women and members, we have a 13th month campaign that Dining for Women is also a recipient of a grant, but we donate to ourselves once a year also for the operations. We also promote different roles within a chapter so that it's not all on the chapter leader, but other people can present the information every month. Other people can coordinate the food that's coming in.
So you offer, quote, a menu?
No, but we do have recipes every month from each country that we're featuring.
Oh, how cool is that? Oh, what a great idea.
We have chapters that everybody brings a dish from the country that the project is in.
And we get so excited when those chapters take pictures of their food and their members, and we all get on Facebook together and can meet each other that way.
At the risk of deifying both of you, I've conducted this Skype interview kind of with my mouth wide open because I'm just in awe, and I'm so glad that I got to meet you and to expose what you've been doing. And even though it may not be new to a whole slew of people, it was new to me. And I just feel so inspired by your work. You're amazing women.
Oh,
thank you for sharing Dining for Women on your program. And, you know, you can actually find a chapter near you on our website, too.
Barbara and Marcia, I hate this word, okay, but I'm going to use it as it applies to you because I think it's so overused. You two are awesome. So thank you for joining me today. And once again, it's diningforwomen.org. It was totally my pleasure, and what a learning experience for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women, and please go to our iTunes store page and leave a rating and a review. And if you know anyone you think that we should interview, contact us at sandyclineshow.com.